Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakans Vidamscha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Prishubhanu Sudha Devi Pranamami Hari Kriye Vantakapa Jurubhyascha Kripa Sinubhyevacha Padidanam Bhavani Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shadwaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktivrinda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai
Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 4 Shri Madhavendra Puri's devotional service, text 179. Paramavirakta
Paramavirakta
Mami
Sarvatra
Udasina
Gramya
Varta Baye Vitiya Sangha
Nina
Paramavirakta Moni Sarvatra Udasina
Paramavirakta Moni Sarvatra Udasina
Gramya Varta Baye Dvitiya Sangahina Paramavirakta Moni Sarvatra Udasina Gramya Varta Baye Dvitiya Sangahina Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, Shri Madhavendra Puri used to remain alone. He was completely renounced and always very silent. He was uninterested in everything material, and for fear of talking about mundane things, he always lived without a companion. Next text. After receiving the transcendental orders of Gopal, this great personality traveled thousands of miles just to collect sandalwood by begging. Although Madhavendrapuri was hungry, he would not beg food to eat. This renounced person carried a load of sandalwood for the sake of Sri Gopal. Without considering his personal comforts, Madhavendrapuri carried one mound, about 82 pounds of sandalwood, and 20 tolas, about 8 ounces of camphor, to smear over the body of Gopal. This transcendental pleasure was sufficient for him. Since there were restrictions against taking the sandalwood out of the Orissa province, the toll official confiscated the stock, but Madhavendrapuri showed him the release papers given by the government and consequently escaped difficulties. Madhavendrapuri was not at all anxious during the long journey to Vrindavan through the provinces governed by the Muslims and filled with unlimited numbers of watchmen. Although Madhavendrapuri did not have a farthing with him, he was not afraid to pass by the toll officers. His only enjoyment was in carrying the load of sandalwood to Vrindavan for Gopal. This is the natural result of intense love of Godhead. The devotee does not consider personal inconveniences or impediments. In all circumstances, he wants to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. It is natural for those who have developed intense love for Krishna not to care for personal inconvenience and impediments. Such devotees are simply determined to execute the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his representative, the spiritual master. In all circumstances, even amidst the greatest dangers, they undeviatingly carry on with the greatest determination. This definitely proves the intense love of the servitor. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.8, Tate Nukam Vam Susamikshamana, those who seriously desire to get free from the clutches of material existence, who have developed intense love for Krishna, are worthy candidates for going back home, back to Godhead. An intense lover of Krishna does not care for any number of material discomforts, scarcity, impediments, or unhappiness. It is said that when one sees apparent unhappiness or distress in a perfect Vaishnava, it is not at all unhappiness for him, rather it is transcendental bliss. In the Shikshastika, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also instructed Ashishava Pada Pratam Punashtimam. The intense lover of Krishna has never deviated from his service despite all difficulties and impediments brought before him. Namaste Sarasvatam Deva Gauravana Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya De Siddharane. Madhavendrapuri is the example here that he undertook great difficulty to bring sandalwood back to his Gopal deity in Vrindavan. And the reason why he did this was because of his intense love for Gopal. And because he was intensely in love with Gopal, although there was apparently some difficulties, but he didn't experience them as difficulties. The previous purport, Prabhupada writes that when the living entity feels spiritual separation from Krishna, Krishna Varaha, he has achieved the prime success of life. One becomes disinterested in material things, he is simply experiencing the other side of attraction for material things. However, feeling separation from Krishna and engaging in the service of the Lord to fulfill his mission constitute the best example of love of Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to point out this intense love of Krishna exhibited by Srila Madhavendrapuri. All Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees later follow in the footsteps of Madhavendrapuri, serving the Lord without personal considerations. So Madhavendrapuri, he's the example of the feeling of intense love for Krishna and the mood of the gopis. But, as we can see, that he did not simply sit in Vrindavan and discuss Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. He did something which is seemingly so unrasika as to go and get sandalwood and camphor to simply go for a walk and through tolls and so many different dangerous places just to get some sandalwood. So exactly what this has to do with feeling transcendental separation from Krishna. In other words, intense love for Krishna doesn't mean that I simply intensely love Krishna and that Krishna takes care of everything else for me. No, love means service. And service doesn't mean simply in my mind I'm thinking about loving Krishna, but this body and other things I use for it. That I don't want to take the inconvenience of disturbing my mind or my senses by having to do some menial service to Krishna. Simply I'll love Krishna and that will be sufficient. And Krishna will send so many people to serve me. So this is called, Prabhupada says, sahajya. That if love for Krishna is so cheap, you don't have to do anything for Krishna. Then where is the manifestation of love for Krishna? How do we actually know you love Krishna? That real love for Krishna, as Prabhupada points out, is that one is willing to sacrifice everything for Krishna's mission. So as they say in America, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what Krishna's mission is. We've heard, I guess actually, the prophet of Sahajiyas, they concoct some mission of Krishna, saying that Krishna's mission is simply for us to relish his transcendental pastimes. So that's not far from the truth. But Krishna's mission, if it was simply to relish his pastimes, then why would he come to the material world to relish his pastimes? Here his pastimes are those pastimes of birth, death, old age, and disease. So how much relish can you get from coming to the material world to relish these pastimes? If you want to relish the pastimes of Goloka Vrindavan, then why go away from Goloka Vrindavan? That's where the pastimes actually are. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he undoubtedly was relishing separation from Krishna in the mood of separation from the gopis, but he also showed us what means service to Krishna. He himself, although he was always feeling separation from Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, he manifested so many different varieties of pastimes. His pastimes as a scholar, his pastimes in South India, preaching Harinam to even the animals in the forest, going through the Jarakanda forest and getting the animals to dance and chant Hare Krishna, debating with scholars such as Prakasananda Saraswati, the Mayavadis, the Tattvavadis, the Madhvacharyas, the Buddhists. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission was simply to relish, enjoy Krishna's pastimes. Why did he do these seemingly low-class activities, like discussing with Mayavadis, defeating them? That's not very rasika. Or why did he bother talking to the Buddhists? He shouldn't have even looked at their faces. Why did he simply go around chanting Hare Krishna? Why, with the Panchatattva, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't even discuss Radha Krishna Leela? What did he tell Nityananda, who happens to be nine different from himself, did he discuss with him about the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna and the gopis? No, he told Nityananda to go door to door and chant, tell people to chant Hare Krishna, worship Krishna, Bola Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, Kora Krishna Shika. This is all the Nityananda Prabhu went. He didn't knock on people's doors and say, my dear sir, do you have a moment? I want to tell you about the highest topics. No, he went door to door, knocked on people's door, and fell on the ground, rolled on the ground at people's feet, and said, my dear sir, I simply want one gift from you. Because the mendicants in the Vedic culture, they could go door to door and ask for some donation. So the householders were obliged to give some donation. So what was the donation that Haridas Thakur and Lord Nityananda were asking for? Simply chant Krishna's name, worship Krishna, and follow Krishna's instructions. This was the gift that Lord Nityananda was asking for. So this is, Lord Nityananda was the right-hand man of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We can understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission through the Panchatattva. He gave the mission of Nityananda Prabhu to preach in West Bengal. He gave Advaita Acharya, he was also propagating the Sankirtan movement. Similarly, the other members of the Panchatattva, Gadadhar Pandit, although he lived at Jagannath Puri, he showed a certain relationship with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And similarly, Srivasa Thakur also. Practically speaking, they were all preachers of the Sankirtan movement. And as we see in the pictures, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, they go on preaching, on Harinam Sankirtan and preaching together. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was preaching about how to come to the feelings of separation from Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. The feelings of separation from Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan is not some mundane affair, it's selfless service. It exemplifies selflessly trying to please Lord Krishna. It is not some mundane affair that only the gopis in Vrindavan have love for Krishna and that everyone else is more or less insignificant. They're more or less all obstacles in the path of pure devotion. They're put there just to show us what not to do. Mother Jasoda, the cowherd boys, that we shouldn't even talk very much about them because they're not gopis. They don't really exhibit very much service to Krishna. Very low class. You know, it's not Mahabhav. They don't have Madan and Mohan Mahabhav. So what kind of service? You know, simply little man, sneha, rag, anurag. Not very important. So one who thinks like this, they're considered to be sahajis. They may conclude... They may conclude that just by talking about high topics, what they think are high topics, Radha and Krishna's pastimes, that they become very high and elevated just by talking about such things. But Prabhupada, actually, our standard is not such a conception. Our standard is Prabhupada's conception. Because Prabhupada's conception, Srila Prabhupada's conception, is the same conception as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It fits in with the actual activities of our previous acharyas. That conception is that one becomes an important devotee according to how much service is actually rendered to the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to the previous acharyas. So that mission is not simply external. It's also cultivating the mood of service. That mood of service also implies a certain consciousness of Krishna, because Krishna also, you know, service to Krishna also implies a certain mood, bhakti. So that mood of service is also manifested in willingness to serve his mission, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, the mission of Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, is very clear that he's come to the material world to elevate people to the highest level of devotional service. Anarpitam charim charat kruna yavatire kalo. Samarpayi team, Ujvana Tojval Sura Bhakti Shriyam, Sarasa Bhakti Shriyam. So undoubtedly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is revealing the highest level of devotional service, but if you want to make people a high court judge, first of all, send them to public school so they can get their public school diploma, their high school diploma, to college, and then they can become qualified to become a lawyer, and after they become a lawyer, then they can become a high court judge. But if you go around simply stamping people high court judges when they're actually not even in public school, you may get some satisfaction and they may be satisfied. Just like Sanatana Goswami when he was in prison. So the jailkeeper, who was his old friend, but not very intelligent, jailkeepers weren't high, you know, scholars at that age. So Sanatana Goswami said, "Please let me go. I'll give you 10,000 gold coins." Because as you know, because you're a great scholar, that anyone who releases a person from the cycle of birth and death, or anyone who releases a person from jail, he'll go back to the spiritual world. So, because he was called a high-class scholar by Sanatana Goswami, the jailkeeper thought, "Yes, I am a high-court scholar. I'm a high-class scholar." But, although Sanatana Goswami, I can agree with you with your, you know, that I would like to release you so from jail so I can go back to Godhead, but I'm still afraid of the Nawab. So Sanatana Goswami said, "Well, what about 50,000 gold coins?" So the jailkeeper said, "Well, my fear is rapidly dissipating." And then, but what should I tell the Nawab? So Sanatana Goswami, tell him that Sanatana Goswami went to the Ganges, the past stool, and he threw his ball and chain into the ocean to escape, and he drowned. No one knows what happened to him. So he said, that sounds like a good story. So I'll tell it to him, and he let Sanatana Goswami free. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that, generally speaking, if a person is given a position or given the glorification of being on a very high level, then immediately he accepts, yes, that's very true, I am quite elevated. At least he can recognize it. He must be intelligent. But just by being praised or elevated to a high-class position, if one is not actually qualified, then one remains in a lower position, actually. Prithvi Maharaj, as soon as he appeared, he didn't appear in an ordinary way. King Vena was a very sinful demon. He was cursed by the Brahmins and to die. He left his body, went to hell. But all the dacoits, the thieves, the rogues, they all began to plunder the citizens. So the sages didn't want to get involved becoming policemen. So they had to create another kshatriya. So out of the legs and the arms from the body of King Venu, they churned, and eventually they got Prithu Maharaj and his consort. What was her name? Archie. So they got these incarnations, and immediately as soon as he appeared, everyone started to praise him. You're God, you're the creator, the maintainer. So Prithu Maharaj said, wait a second, I haven't done anything, I just appeared. You don't know what I'm going to do in the future. You know, so all this praise, praising me like that, is actually an insult. That if someone is praised for something they haven't done or can't do, they're actually insulting them. If some person walks in and says, sir, you're the most intelligent person that ever existed, you're the most beautiful, so actually you're mocking the person. And if the person goes, yes, 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 it's all true, finally someone has realized it, then the person is a fool. So similarly, just by imagining oneself to be high class, by speaking high class topics, if one is actually not high class, and Prabhupada's standard of high class is to sacrifice one's energy in order to actually go through the trouble for bringing people from where they're at presently in a practical way to a higher platform so they can actually reach the highest platform. Taking people where they are. If a school teacher goes to public school and thinks, I'm tired of teaching these 5-year-old kids, you know, how to, you know, read and write. Let's you know, get into the real things. You know, let's get into higher math. We're just going to have higher math and calculus and we'll teach Sanskrit to the 5-year-olds. You know Sanskrit, Anil? So if one thinks like that, I'm tired of teaching ABC all the time. You know, let's go to XYZ and start out from there and see who makes it. Amongst the kids. Only the sincere kids will make it anyhow. So this is due to the impatience of the teacher, the fact that he's not really serious about actually taking, he's imagining where he would hope his students to be rather than where they're actually at. Just like when Prabhupada came, he didn't immediately, what was his example? He didn't immediately start telling people about the gopis' love for Krishna. He didn't even tell people about God. I personally saw Prabhupada came to the University of Buffalo where I was a student, although I was initiated at the time, in 1969. And he came, and just by his presence, everything was, at least to me, quite transcendental. But Prabhupada, he sat in front of a student who was in the student auditorium. There were probably 500 to 700, maybe more students in the auditorium to hear from Prabhupada. So Prabhupada immediately began to talk about God. So as soon as people heard the name God, immediately half the audience got up and left. So what to speak of talking about high class topics, people were not even prepared to hear about God. And what was Prabhupada talking about practically for most of the years that we're not this body. And after 30 years, 40 years, sometimes we may be disappointed that why we keep on hearing about the fact that we're not this body. Why do we hear about it? Because we haven't realized that we're not this body. That's why we have to hear about it. We haven't actually understood that we're not this body, and we haven't understood clearly that we're Krishna's servants, and that instead of serving the body, we should serve Krishna. So one has to become convinced of that basic philosophy to see during the day whether or how much I'm actually engaged in Krishna's service. What is Krishna's service, and how much I'm practically engaged in it. So Prabhupada talked about that, practical engagement in Krishna's service. And what was that service that he emphasized most? It was distribution of transcendental knowledge, especially through books and Harinam Sankirtan. That's what Prabhupada emphasized the most, because that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, the distribution of transcendental knowledge, from the highest part of the transcendental knowledge down to the lowest. Prabhupada didn't say, just go out and distribute, you know, the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. No, he wanted all kinds of transcendental literature to be distributed, all different varieties, so that people can get a full picture of what transcendental life is. And they, with a little help and guidance, they can understand what level they're at, what to aspire for, and take gradually, step by step. Rupa Goswami uses the word in the verse, Adao Shada Tata Sada Sangatya Bhajana Kriya. He uses the word krama. What is the whole word? Krama. Krama means step. Like Uru Krama. One who has a big step. Sadakana Mayan Prema Pradurbhave Bhavat Krama. So, one should take Krishna consciousness step by step. But from the beginning step to the highest step, we can see that all the examples of our previous acharyas, they never gave up propagating the Sankirtan movement. They, from the beginning of their appearance to the end of their appearance as devotees, that they were always engaged somehow or another in serving Krishna's mission. And they are considered exalted in so much as they actually help fulfill that mission. So we should take this example of Madhavendra Puri, our great predecessor guru, not to give up the service to Krishna and simply try to enjoy him. Even our previous acharyas, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they were writing books. Nana Shastra Vicharanai Kanipano Shadharma Samstapako. So what kind of books were they writing? If Rupa Goswami, Sananda Goswami thought that the only thing to write about is Rasika topics, then why do they bother present the nectar of instruction? Why do they present the nectar of devotion? Why do they present a full range of transcendental topics if only one topic was relevant to the lives of the devotees? All our previous acharyas showed not only a full range of transcendental topics, but they also showed in their life not to try to enjoy Krishna, even when you're on the highest level. Rupa Goswami was thinking, how nice it would be if I could prepare a nice feast for my brother, Sanatana Goswami, my guru, my elder brother. So immediately when the young girl came from the village with so many nice ingredients for a nice feast and said, you know, I have all these ingredients. My mother told me to come and bring these to you, to the sadhu in the village, so we'd like to give it to you. So Rupa Goswami said, oh, that's very nice, you know, thank you very much. Now I can prepare a nice feast for my guru, my elder brother, Sanatana Goswami. So he prepared a nice feast. Sanatana Goswami came, they ate the prasadam. And then Sanatana Goswami said, oh, this is wonderful. Where did you get all these ingredients? And then Rupa Goswami said, oh, I was just thinking, I'd like to have some nice ingredients to offer for a nice feast for you. And then suddenly this very beautiful girl came from the village, sent by her mother with all these ingredients. So Sanatana Goswami said, oh, you've made a big mistake. You've accepted service from Srimati Radharani. And then they both began to lament, oh yes, we've been tricked by... So the devotee, they want to render service to Srimati Radharani. Just like Raghunath Das Goswami, he was by Radhakund, meditating, chanting his rounds on, in Krishna consciousness. And then Krishna came because it was a hot sun, and he had to come and hold. Oh, Radharani came and was holding her upper part of her sari over Raghunath Das Goswami's head to protect him from the hot sun. So Rupa Goswami saw this, and he started to chastise Raghunath Das. He said, "You should get a bhajan kutir, but this is not good. You're taking service from Radharani like this." Not that, "Oh, you're so fortunate, Radharani's coming, she's serving you, you're such an elevated Vaishnava, let me fall down at your feet, you know, you're so, you know, such an elevated..." No, you're a rascal. What are you taking service from Radharani for? But he didn't listen to him. And then he was meditating, and then two tigers came. So Krishna saw the tigers, immediately he appeared and chased the tigers away. So then Rupa Goswami said, "You must build a bhajan kutir, you rascal. How can you take service from Krishna now?" So then Raghunath Das Goswami said, "Yes, I must build a bhajan kutir. I cannot take service from Radha and Krishna like this." So the devotee, his mood is he wants to render service, not take service from Radha and Krishna. Not that Radha and Krishna, they're having their pastimes for my enjoyment. Therefore, I should simply sit here and relish them. Never mind, so many people will go to hell, but they deserve it because they're not qualified to hear these pastimes. No, the mood of the acharyas is that the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Panchatattva, is that one has to go door to door, house to house, city to city, and teach people where they're at and elevate them to higher and higher levels. Not that simply we want to talk about Vrindavan's body for the rest of our lives. When people become more elevated, we can give them more elevated instructions about service to Radha, you know, service to the Panchatattva, and through them, one will automatically be taught higher and higher levels of devotional service. But as we can see, generally speaking, within our society, most devotees haven't understood the elementary. So they want, without understanding the elementary principles of devotional service, they think this is too much of austerity to serve Krishna's mission. Let me jump. Let me find some easy way of getting the highest nectar without any qualification. So that's what's called sahajya. And we can see as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission spreads that many, many different sahajya movements will also spring up. And people will be very much convinced by the power of their audacity and false ego that they're actually quite elevated personalities, that they become so elevated that they don't have to really serve the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu anymore, the mission of the Panchatattva. They can simply jump over their heads and jump into Goloka Vrindavan and sit there and relish Radha and Krishna's pastime. So this will become more and more prominent as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission spreads, because in this material world we can't expect everyone to be very sincere. But the result is such, just as there are many owls, there's so many varieties of Prakriti Sahajiyas in India. Bhaktivinoda Thakura names so many of them. So we can also expect them to appear in the West, and if we don't want to become one of them, then we should take up the mission seriously of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Otherwise, unless we take up that mission, then we'll be attracted to some easy path and think that I can enjoy in the material world or I can enjoy in the spiritual world and be the highest level of devotee. Krishna will allow us, the illusory energy will allow us to think like that, but that doesn't mean it will be a reality. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes.
Is it that random to ISKCON that so many devotees go to other movements?
Rampant in ISKCON? Out of the thousands and thousands of devotees who have joined the movement, most of them have gone back to the material movement. The biggest movement in the material world is the Mayavadis and the most prominent philosophers. The impersonalist, the Mayavadis. There's no God. The whole purpose of life is just to enjoy. Or the sense gratifiers. This is a big movement, the whole disciple succession coming from Maya. And some of them have stayed a little bit longer, so they're not so much attracted to that. Or they are attracted to that, but they want some spiritual life too, but not to sacrifice too much. So we find, practically speaking, that most of the Gaudiya Math, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada said, that when our own men become sahajiyas, they'll become more dangerous. Because sahajiyas, they don't have any philosophy, practically speaking. You know, most of those, the Alas, the Balas, the Kartavekas, the Rukranganagris, most of them were not very much scholarly. Maybe their leaders had some scholarship to support their views. But many of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada's followers, they were quite learned in the Shastra. But when they became sahajiyas, they used that same learning to try to convince people to become sahajiyas just like themselves. So they became more dangerous. So, for the most part, most of them gave up propagating Krishna consciousness extensively. In a very limited way, probably gave them credit for doing that, but in a very limited way, without staying on the Kanista Adhikari platform. Why Prabhupada said they were Kanista Adhikaris? Because they refused to overcome their false egos to cooperate with each other. They just wouldn't give up the idea that they were so elevated, why should they associate with such low-class people who are living next door in the other mud? You know, to propagate Krishna consciousness is just too much for them. You know, this person did this to me 25 years ago, and it was such an offense that I'll never forget it. He's destined to hell, so why, he's not even a devotee. How can I cooperate with him to spread Krishna consciousness? So, one acharya after another, you know, held this view, and they split up to smaller and smaller groups, and the propagation of Krishna consciousness practically disappeared. It became a dying movement. Just like I got one Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu around 10 years ago, and it was eaten all with worms because they didn't want to take the trouble, even to try to get it from them was a difficult. They didn't want to take the trouble, the people who had it, to sell it. It's too much for them to take the money in their hands, bring out the book and sell it. Something they never offered it to anyone. They didn't think it was so valuable. So for so many years after it was published, the only people who got any benefit from it was the worms. So it wasn't that they weren't, you know, devotees. It's not that they... But they gave up propagating Krishna consciousness. And why? Because they couldn't work together. It was just too much. They felt they were too offended, or they felt too elevated. And because they were devotees, therefore they had to have some idea what the mission was. So they invented different missions. Missions of becoming a Rastika Bhakta. You know, a lot of them got into the Babaji mood. Or combined the Gaudiya Sampradaya, Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya with the Babaji mood. To enjoy Radha and Krishna by imagining oneself to be very elevated. So we see more and more as the devotees, as our society, for different reasons, doesn't become involved sufficiently in propagating Krishna consciousness, then people lose their taste and they want to find that taste somewhere else. So someone offers, you know, the real taste, the easy taste is here. The instant taste, you know, you have your coffee, it takes 5 minutes to make or 20 minutes, but you have your instant coffee. So this is the instant, you know, love of God. You know, try it out. You can't lose. You know, it's cheap. We give it to you half price. We don't make any profit for you. So we can see that if our society becomes strong, then these, just like when the Kshatriya kings are strong, then all the rogues and thieves disappear. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur became powerful, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada became powerful, then all the atheists, the rogues, the Mayavadis, the Sahajiyas, the impersonalists, the Smartha Brahmins, they all start to disappear. They felt threatened. But as soon as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada disappeared, then they all became very prominent again. And then when Prabhupada appeared, then they became diminished, at least outside. There was some movement to diminish their influence. But after Prabhupada's disappearance, unless the devotees of this movement become strongly committed to Prabhupada's mission, then they'll start looking elsewhere. Unless they get the happiness, the ecstasy, from actually spreading Krishna consciousness and developing Krishna consciousness in that way. Because Prabhupada never said that simply book distribution is spreading Krishna consciousness. He also wanted us to be Krishna conscious, to spread it amongst each other too. That we should see every opportunity as a preaching opportunity. Preaching in the sense that I have to an opportunity to serve Krishna. Not only outside, but also inside. But if we give up this mission to spread it outside, then we'll lose our, then we'll, everything will probably become material. If we think everyone is outside, has no potential to become a devotee, then we'll look inside also, or our society, and we'll think inside the movement, no one has the potential to become a devotee either. We'll forget how powerful Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is, that simply by trying to serve it, so many people will become empowered to spread Krishna consciousness. So that even people who have no interest at all can actually take a book or take some prasadam or even chant the holy names. We give up that, trying to preach to the outside and actually get empowered that way and see the effect of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's potency, Krishna Shakti Vinanahi Tara Pravartana, then we'll simply look inside our society after some time, see all the defects in the devotees and think, these people will never become devotees. There's no hope. And then we'll look to someplace else where they're offering what we think is hope. Although it also will be hopeless. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandhara Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna.